And if you have a Bible, I hope you do. Where are we going to go today? Who is in the Spirit? We're going to go to 7-Eleven today. I was in Florida this week. They have a lot of 7-Elevens. But we're going to Luke 7-Eleven. And I want to preach about resurrection. Amen? You know, I was saying earlier in the 9 a.m. Bible study, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, what are we doing? Why build a funny building in the woods? Why come here on a Sunday? Why do anything if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? And in our day, you have a lot of people. I was listening to Jordan Peterson this week, who I like. I think he's got a lot of good things to say, but he doesn't get the resurrection. People who think, well, Jesus rose in a metaphysical way. It was like a symbolic raising to show us that God can change things that are old, and we should, you know, take meaning from this. Actually happened. Come on, this actually happened. If you were stood outside of that tomb with a GoPro in the year 33 AD, you would have seen a man walk out of that tomb. Hallelujah. And Jesus was real. I love it when he met with the disciples. And do you remember Thomas doubted he was alive? And I won't believe unless I can put my hand in it. And then Jesus shows up and he's like, touch me. Handle me. I'm real. I'm not a ghost. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, but I'm not sort of some spiritual rising. Jesus rose from the dead. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that there were over 500 witnesses who testified that they'd seen Jesus after his resurrection. Hallelujah. I love the fact that all of these disciples, let's just be honest, they were cowardly, they didn't get the plot until after the resurrection. None of them did. And yet from the moment he rose right to the end of their life, and nearly all of them died as martyrs in terrible ways, they spent all of their life proclaiming he rose from the dead. Now, you can have your doubts about who shot Kennedy and did they land on the moon and, you know, I don't know. I believe they did. Talk about COVID all you want, but Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And I don't think we need the answer to every single question about Christianity. And I think at times Christians love to argue about second degree or third degree things. There are some things you don't have to agree on. We can have our, will your dog and cat go to heaven? Don't ask Robin. My dog will go to heaven if she's good. Well, we can argue about things, but I tell you, all of Christianity falls apart if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. I'll never forget once years ago in India, about 25 years ago, preaching in a city called Trivandrum in the south of India. It's on a Sunday night. I've got about 2,000 people in a like a slum area, literally people living in cardboard boxes and little tin shacks, and all these people came out, and I'm having a grand time. I'm just preaching the gospel with an interpreter. And I remember at one point just saying, Jesus is alive. And it was like this wave, I want to say frisson, but that's French, isn't it? Like this little boo-boo-boo went through the crowd. And it wasn't dramatic, but it was real. I really noticed it. And I stopped and I turned to my interpreter and I said, did you see that? And he said, yeah. And I said, let's have some fun. I said, Jesus is alive. And it was like, poof. I tried it again. Jesus is alive. Woo-hoo. I get the same thing here if I say Dunkin' Donuts. <It's> like, or Starbucks for Laurie. And I remember later praying about that, and it's like the Lord said, every time somebody dares to proclaim Jesus is alive, you get like a little mini outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't stand it in a good way. If you go to somebody and say Jesus is alive, Holy Spirit just wants to jump on them. Hallelujah. And he wants the world to know Jesus is alive. And it's not hard to be a Christian. Christianity is not about, it's not about self-improvement. You know, I was in a store the other day, I was in Florida, and you see these books, self-help. I mean, most of them are pretty good and there's good advice, but the bottom line of Christianity is you can't help yourself. You can't pull yourself up to heaven by your own bootstraps. Any more than the people at the Tower of Babel could get a bunch of stones and build a tower that gets to heaven. I can't help myself or save myself. I need a helper. His name's the Holy Spirit. And I need a savior. His name is Jesus. And I love to say that, but Jesus is not interested in improving your life. Jesus doesn't come to turn bad people into good people. He comes to turn dead people into alive people. And you're not a Christian because you're a good bunny. I try to be a good bunny most days. And sometimes I fail. Have you ever just like, you know, and Father, forgive me, I have sinned. Come on, seriously. But here's the point. God's not grading you on whether you're good or bad. He's actually grading you on whether you're dead or alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you alive? Hallelujah. And if you're here in the room or you're watching this or listening to this on a podcast later, I tell you, my question is you is, do you have life? Jesus said to the Pharisees, search the scriptures. You think you have life because you have a scroll or a book, we'd call it, with ink and paper on it. And yet Jesus said, the very thing written in your book is me. And he said, you won't come to me that you might have life. Can I tell you guys, this book will not save you. Reading this book and believing this book will bring you to Jesus. But it's not a book, leather and ink and paper that will save you. It's the breath of God inside of it. Hallelujah. And I would like to read a quick story of resurrection in Luke 11. I found Luke. It's a good start. 7:11. Now it happened the day after that he, that's Jesus, went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. When they came near to the gate of the city, behold, a dead man. Say a dead man. A dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And he was dead, began to speak. Great prophet has risen up amongst us, and that God has visited his people. Isn't that a great story? I love those five words at the end of that. God has visited his people. God has visited his people. Can I tell you what the gospel is about? God wants to visit you. God wants to visit New England. God wants to visit America. God wants to visit this world. God wants to raise us from the dead. Hallelujah. You know, all religion, when you think about it, is about us trying to visit God. Us trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Us trying to build a little tower. You say, I'd never do that. Yeah, we do. We do our own 2025 cool version of it. We try to build a tower. We build a stairway to heaven. Dun, dun, dun. By our own works, our own good deeds. And we love playing the game of comparing ourselves, measuring ourselves. Well, I'm not as good as Jack. But I'm a lot better than Linda. We grade ourselves, and all of our grades fail. God looks at all of us and goes, you'll never make it. You're too far away. You're too holy. You can never come and visit me, so I came to visit you. Come on, isn't that the gospel? Jesus came to visit you. And again, if you're here in the room or watching online, I tell you, Jesus wants to knock on the door of your heart. The Bible is full of stories. I love the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. I mean, does anybody like a tax collector? Dylan, just pause this on YouTube, please. No, it's a joke. I've never seen it. I worked for the IRS. Yeah, hallelujah. So I really love the IRS and I'm paying my taxes. And no, go on. Oh, we've got a star here. A star is born. That's okay. Here's the point. Zacchaeus is a tax collector and he's also stealing money. He's taking money from the Jewish people, giving it to the Roman occupation, skimming money on the top. Nobody likes him. His mother doesn't like him. Nobody's speaking to him. Nobody can get, and he's a little guy and he's hiding in a tree so he can get to see Jesus. And Jesus comes and shakes his tree. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, get out of your tree. I want to come home and visit with you. I don't want to pay like a stick a flyer through your letterbox. I want to visit you, a long-term visit. And I tell you, God wants to visit every one of us. He wants to visit the church afresh. And I love this story. In this story, if you will, you see two groups of people walking in opposite directions. Real quick, number one, it's like two processions. There's a procession of death. There's a procession, a crowd of people, a mother, a widow, and then a dead boy. Can you imagine? I can't imagine, and I know some of you here can imagine pieces of this, and I'm not unaware of that as I say this, what it's like. This is a single mom, and her boy has died. You know, where's the husband? I don't know what happened. Maybe he died. Maybe we can't speculate. What we know is this woman was a widow. Imagine this woman. She's raising her son, and one day he gets ill, and he just gets worse and worse, and she tries everything she can, and he's sinking and sinking, and then the day comes, he dies. Can you imagine? I can't, like a whole world has just fallen apart. And I know some people in the room have been through versions of that story. And then this woman, you know, in those days, you didn't wait 3 weeks for a funeral. You had to bury somebody quick in the Middle East in those days. And she gathers the whole city of Nain. We call it a city of Nain. It was probably a tiny little thing, really. Everybody closes their store and walks with the woman. A whole procession of people. And they're all thinking about death. They're on their way. Have you ever seen a funeral in the Middle East? Those guys know how to do funerals. It's not quiet and respectful. In British funerals, we're very quiet. You go, he was a good man. And you do this service, and then afterwards, everybody gets drunk in somebody's... I think we got it from the Irish, but... sorry, not the Christians. It's what I want you to see, a procession of death with this woman filled with grief, and there's a coffin, an open coffin, at the head of this procession. And they're walking out of the city on their way out to the graveyard to bury the boy. Can I tell you real quick, who are you in this story? You're the boy if you don't know Jesus. There's nothing you can do to raise yourself. And we've all at some stage in our life been that little boy. That's who we are. And there's another procession that's coming that day, but it's going in the opposite direction. This procession is coming from the exterior into the town. There's a crowd of people, but these people are different. At the head of this procession, there's not a coffin. There is Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, the Son of God, the greatest person who's ever lived. And everybody in this procession is filled with joy and glory and anticipation. Every day, I bet the disciples would get up and say, I wonder what he's going to do today. I wonder what crazy thing Jesus is going to do today. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be wild. Do you think he's going to walk on water? They probably took bets every day. What will he do today? I remember years ago, my dad, this is in the 70s, my father took me to see, in the 1970s, Johnny Cash.
Hello, my name is Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash made a movie called The Gospel Road. And I remember my dad took me to see this. It was literally in like a church with a, like a cinema, you know, a film thing. And there's only one thing I remember from the movie though. There was a point in the movie, I think it was this story actually, where Jesus raises this boy. And then in the movie, it was, in my memory anyway, it was like Peter turns to Jesus and gives him a high five, like, that's so cool. And in the movie, Peter and Jesus start hugging each other, and they end up just rolling down this hill, like two teenage boys going like, yeah! And I remember the time my dad, I'm about 7 or 8, my dad turning to me and going, that's what Jesus is like. Come on, that's what Jesus is like. And I want you to see this procession of life. The Bible says, in him was life. He is the resurrection and the life. Jesus doesn't come to teach us about life. He is life itself. Everything in this planet was created by him, through him, and for him. And Jesus is filled with the life of God. This procession obsessed with life goes, and I love it because the procession of death met the procession of life. I love it that Jesus didn't just stand sort of politely by the side and let the cortege, the funeral pass, and he didn't tell them, you know, Peter, take your hat off. Let's just bow our heads reverently. Do you know Jesus messed up every funeral he ever went to? Can you see this procession of life go in? And I don't think Jesus even stepped us. I think he's on a collision course for this coffin. He's like, one of us is going to get out of the way and it's not going to be me. And they stopped. And did this woman know anything about Jesus? I don't know. It's speculation. She probably heard a few stories. Maybe she didn't even realize who it was. But suddenly the creator of heaven and earth stood before her. And I love Jesus. What did Jesus do? He did two things. Number one, he reached out and he touched that dead boy. Can I tell you, God wants to touch you today. There's something powerful in touch, isn't there? There's an old song that says, to get a touch from the Lord is so real. He touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Can I tell you, maybe you're here today and you think you're untouchable. Jesus wants to touch you. I mean, he wants to reach out with his arms of love. You know, we're living in a world which tells parents, you know, your kids need this gadget and that gadget and a million different. Do you know what they need? They need a hug. They're never too old to get a hug. I don't care if you're here and you're a little older, you know. I can't wait to go to heaven and get a hug from my mom and dad again. You're never too old. Noah, you're not too old to get a hug. Not now, but no, come on. And Jesus reached out and touched. I love that heaven wants to come down into whatever situation you're in. Heaven doesn't say clean up your act and you can fellowship with me. Heaven wants to come and touch you. I've shared that story here many times, but years ago I encountered a leper in India and I tried speaking, and in the end I just hugged this leper. It's like literally the only thing I could do. 3 days later, the leper came back with the certificate, completely healed of leprosy. And I was flabbergasted. I went to the Lord and said, Lord, I didn't pray my faith prayer, my anointing prayer, my gift, my Holy Spirit. I was like, how did he get healed? And the Lord said to me, it's really simple. You didn't catch what he got. He caught what you got. It's terrible grammar, but it's wonderful truth. Come on, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I tell you, we the church, don't play with my language here, but part of our call is to go around and touch this world. I mean, to reach out and touch them and be there and enter the box of somebody's grief and death and just sometimes being there. I love the fact that Jesus touched this boy even before he raised him. And I tell you, no matter who you are today, if you just feel awash in all of the problems, the situations, the things going on in your life, I tell you, Jesus wants to touch you today. And that there is literally something just so powerful, even about a human touch at times, of just somebody saying, love you, appreciate it. Love you, Jack. I'm so glad you guys are here. What a blessing. Yeah, boom. to our eye. I think we all need that. We need that from Jesus at times, all of us, don't we? Yeah, at times we get into that thing with like the rat on the wheel. We're trying to earn things again, and we're busy doing. We're doing Martha, and Jesus wants to say, just sit down, shut up, I love you. So I want you to see this today. The procession of life, the procession of death. Here's my main question. Which one are you in? There are only two. People say, well, there are many roads to God. No, there's only two roads. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. There are only two processions you can ever be on. You're born in a way into that procession of death. You're born, maybe you're a really privileged, rich, blessed person in that procession of death. Maybe life's been hard with you, whatever, but you're still on that procession that's going towards the graveyard. And we live in a generation that never really wants to think about death, talk about death. But can I tell you, that's where we're all going. That all of us are sort of like, we can try to put it off a few years and we'll eat some healthy food and exercise and do that. But great, maybe you'll have a slow march there, but you are headed in that direction. And my suggestion, my exhortation to you today is switch camp. Allow Jesus to transfer you. Colossians 1:13 says we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of His love. And God wants you to join a different crowd, a crowd filled with life. Hallelujah. Jesus touched that boy. And then Jesus spoke to that boy. He spoke a word to that boy. Can I tell you how God does everything He's ever going to do? He speaks a word. Jesus looked at that little boy and said, young man, I say to you, arise. You know, there may be, you may be here, well, how can a dead person hear things? Do you know there's power in God's word to do everything? There's power in God's word to raise the dead. There's power in God's word to open blind eyes. There's power in God's word to do anything and everything. God created everything we see through His words. Let there be light. You know, the earth and the seas and the birds and the plants and all of these things. The power is in God's word. One of my heroes was the German evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. Did anybody ever see Brother Bonnke preach before? He was a wonderful man of God. I love him. Really did. Reinhard Bonnke was a missionary in Lesotho in Africa. He was actually a missionary for nearly 25 years and saw very little results. You know, maybe 20, 50 people came to the Lord in 20, 25 years. It was just hard going. He had a little missions base and he was faithful. Give out some food, medicines, tracts, pray for people. And one day, Reinhard Bonnke decided he was going to take the biggest risk of his life. And he really wanted to reach his city for Christ. So he saved and raised money and he hired the biggest hall in town. 3,000 person hall. He was terrified. What have I done? And then he invited the most famous healing evangelist in South Africa to come up to Lesotho and preach for 2 nights. And this guy agreed and he paid his ticket and flew the guy up, put him in a hotel, put flyers all over the town. And when the day came, Reinhard Bonnke went to the hall. He wasn't even sure anybody'd show up. The place was packed. Wasn't one seat empty. He went to the hotel to collect the guy, and the guy wouldn't leave his room. And the receptionist called, and in the end, the receptionist said, the guy says he's not leaving his room. And eventually, Reinhard Bonnke got this evangelist on the phone. He's like, we've got a hall full of people. You need to come. This evangelist said, I'm not coming. Go to the hall and cancel tonight's service, but tell everybody to come back tomorrow. Reinhard Bonnke, you can't do that. I guess you can. So Reinhard Bonnke went to the big hall full of people. I'm really sorry, folks. The service is canceled, but come back tomorrow. The evangelist will be here and God will move tomorrow. Can you imagine? The next night, same thing. Bonnke goes to the hall. There's now 6,000 people. The hall packed, bodies everywhere. 2,000 people outside who can't get in. Reinhard Bonnke's just overflowing with joy. He goes to the hotel again. And when he comes in, the same receptionist is there. The receptionist looks at him and goes, uh-uh. Bonnke says, can you call the guy? He said, the guy left. He's flown back to South Africa. But he left you a note. And this Rana Bonnke, this young missionary, opens this note. The note says, God doesn't want me to preach. He wants you to preach. You go preach. Rana Bonnke said, I've never spoken to more than 50 people in my life. So he went to the hall, thousands of people, and he just started preaching the blood of Jesus. The power of the resurrection. Preached the gospel. And then at the end of the service, he kind of knows this moment's coming where people have come for healing. And he's like, I don't know how to pray for people. I know how to pray for people. I just don't know how to pray for people and see results. And at the end of the moment, he's sort of standing there quietly like, Lord, what do I do? And God spoke clearly in his heart. I'll never forget these words. God spoke to him and said, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. And Bonnke said he's standing there in front of these people thinking, that's blasphemy. That can't be true. And then he began thinking, God's word in my mouth is just as powerful as God's word in God's mouth. And he began to realize the power is not in the mouth, the power is in the word of God. Doesn't matter whose mouth it is. And as he's sort of thinking, suddenly the Lord said, call all of the blind people forward. And about 30 blind people came forward in a big row. And Bonnke's like, what do I? The Lord simply said, don't pray for them, speak my word to them. And Rana Bonnke told them to put their own hands on their own eyes. And then he just let out this great big cry, blind eyes, open! And people began yelling, I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see, I can see. Rana Bonnke spent the rest of his life. He preached to more people than any human being has ever done. Like 10 times more than Billy Graham. And I love Billy Graham. But preaching the gospel and seeing the same miracles happen. Not because he had a gift. But he had a Bible. And he believed in it. And I want you to see that. Jesus comes to this coffin and says, young man, I say to you, arise. And if Jesus speaks a word to a dead boy, he gets up. Come on, there's just as much power. The power of God's word is not diminished. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away, Jesus said. And this power, Jesus can speak a word to you that can raise you from spiritual death today and bring you to life. If you're sick in your body, there's power in God's word to heal you. He sent his word and it healed them. Psalm 107 verse 20. There's power in God's word to break depression off of people's lives, to break addictions and bondage and habits and grief and all kind of things that we can carry for years in our soul. There's power in God's word to change and transform. And Jesus said, young man, I say to you, arise. And can you see this young guy just, hallelujah. Just literally rise and, oh, mom. Can you imagine what that poor mom went through? I mean, it was a good day, but just. And that young guy getting out of the coffin. And they're like, what do we do with the coffin? Oh, let's toss it aside. And here's what I want you to see. The procession of death joined the procession of life. It kind of merged and became one. And they all walked back into the city with Jesus at the head of that procession. Come on, and I want to encourage you today. I know most of us have done that here, but join the procession of life. Walk in the procession of life. So many of us, we're in that procession of life, but we're watching some live stream from somebody from the procession of death on TikTok and filling our minds with all of these like procession death thoughts. And then wondering why we end up feeling, oh, I'm feeling bad. Would you pray for me? You don't need prayer. You need to move. follow the word of God. That's what the disciples do. They're literally following the word of God. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, we have a God who raises the dead. Come on, let me tell you one more story. It's not in my story, but I'll never forget. This really touched me when I was about 17, hearing a story from another of my great heroes. He went to be with the Lord exactly a year ago, Jerry Savelle. And when I was a young man, somebody gave me this cassette tape, and it completely blew my mind. And years later, I met the couple in the tape. Let me tell you this story real quick. 1 year ago, this is in the mid-1980s, Jerry Savelle is preaching at a convention here in the United States. And he's doing a Saturday and a Sunday, you know, all day Saturday, all day Sunday meeting. And Sunday morning, as he's preaching, somebody comes and gives him a note. And he sort of stops his sermon and he says, I want us to all pray and use our faith. There's a precious couple related to somebody here who've just been in a serious car wreck. And he's like, we're going to pray and I'm teaching on faith. We're going to put our faith into practice. And he prayed and spoke health and healing over this couple and then believed they had received that healing. He got everybody to praise God that God had heard and answered the prayer, carried on preaching Saturday morning. Saturday afternoon, he gets up to preach. He says, before I teach, I want you to spend 1 minute. We're going to thank God because this morning we prayed and God answered our prayer. And everybody's, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for healing the couple. Saturday evening, same thing. They prayed and thanked the Lord for healing the couple. Sunday morning, he's about to do the same thing when somebody comes with the news. Both of them just died. So he got up and said, yesterday we prayed, and I want everybody to get up and praise God that God answered our prayers, and they are now healthy. And this person goes, they died. And he says, I know. But God, the Bible says God calls those things which are not as though they were. So Sunday morning, everybody gets up and thanks the Lord because 24 hours ago they prayed, God heard the prayer and answered them. And there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, same thing. I want us to all thank the Lord by faith for healing that couple. There's now about 10 people. The rest are going, this is crazy. Sunday evening, he gets up, and he's about to do it when the couple walk in. Both of them. Completely healed, alive. And he gives them the mic. They tell the story in the car wreck, whatever. They went to heaven. They met Jesus. Jesus gave them a hug. But Jesus said, your work isn't finished here. And he said, if you will, and I want to send you back, and you're going to spend like another 20, 30 years telling your story. And the Bible says Jesus reached out, touched them with love, and then he just pushed them back into their bodies. And they both rose up completely healed. Jerry Savelle turned to his crowd and said, I want you to all thank God that we prayed yesterday. And God, there was a little bit more enthusiasm. And then Jerry Savelle said, right, I want $120,000 now. I want to take an offering. We're going to buy this couple an RV, and we're going to send them all over America. And he's like, we can do this, right? In 2 minutes, they raised $120,000. No problem at all. A God who raises the dead can provide an RV. And that couple, I met them later, spent years just traveling, RV ministry, just you know, different places, not speaking to thousands, just sharing the gospel, sharing their testimony. They knew that Jesus raised the dead. And I just encourage you today, you're a believer, not because you're a good person, but because God has raised a part of you to the dead. And one day he'll raise even these mortal bodies. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just bow our heads in prayer as we finish here. You know, I believe we're all believers in this room, but I want to throw that out to anybody watching online as well. And if you don't know who God is, maybe you know things about him, but you've never really met him or encountered him. He's not real to you. All you need to do is call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you will simply cry out to God wherever you're at right now, no special super prayer, no amazing language you need. If you'll say, God, save me, I promise you he will come and do it right now. And Lord, I just thank you. We thank you that you rose on our behalf. And I thank you, Lord, all over the world today, you're moving, you're waking your church up, you're visiting your people. And Lord, we pray this will be a season of visitation in this church for everybody here. Come and meet us afresh. Come, Lord, and lead us in your procession of life, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Hey, we're going to have our prayer team up here in a moment, and if you need a touch from God in any part of your life, Yeah, we would love to do that. And we have food downstairs. Is that what we're saying? Yeah. So thank you, Debbie and Ron, for doing that. So lunch downstairs and some coffee. Do stay and have some fellowship. And we want to wish everybody a happy Easter. Bless you in Jesus' name.